You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
On Saturday, nationwide rallies were held in order to raise awareness about the nursing shortage and to urge politicians to help secure better working conditions. It was the first time that the New Zealand Nurses Organisation had called on all of its 57,000 members to rally at once. I spoke to organisation spokesperson Kiri Nuku about the rallies, their five fixes for the nursing crisis, and how the public can support nurses.
We did it is because we are sick and tired of nurses not being central to the discussion around our workforce. We're tired of the government continually not listening and saying that there isn't a nursing crisis, and frontline workers standing up and showing the government that they're united and that these staffing issues are real. We had a reasonably good turnout around the country. I mean, bearing in mind that many of the nurses, if they're not on their day off, they're spending time with family, or many of them are at work. But across the country, I think we had a reasonably good turnout for the first time that we've come together like this.
And talking about Parliament, did you receive much response from local MPs, or was there a large contingent that turned out to support the rallies? Were they there at all?
Yeah, so across the country we had different members of parliament turn up, and we also had mayors of the cities turn up. You know, this was also about raising the profile or the issues amongst the community. So we did have a scattered approach, I guess. Some politicians were there, and certainly some mayors of their cities were there. So that was a really good thing to see.
I read that over 5,000 nurses have registered to work in Australia since August. So can you give some insight into the difference in conditions between what Australian nurses are working in and what New Zealand nurses are working in?
Yeah, so absolutely. We don't know how many of those 5,000 have gone over, but what we do know is that many of them are being lured by the prospect of better pay, better hourly rates, and better working conditions. And I think because you're going into a different country, I think nurses feel more valued than they do over here in New Zealand, where they're completely, constantly being undermined. So the pay, working conditions, the opportunity for alternative ways of working, professional development opportunities, those are the lures at the moment that are drawing our nurses out of the country.
It's pretty saddening. Have you heard of many horror stories about nurses and the conditions they're in and the type of hours?
I think there's lots of stories. I mean, we're hearing all the time about nurses turning up for work and having to stay on and do extra hours because the nurses that are meant to come on or rostered to come on behind them have either taken ill or a family member has been ill. So they're working in a really crisis situation, unable to do planning often because you're backfilling when your colleagues can't be there. But the stress and the mental fatigue that this has, and we've talked about this going into a winter months, and there's more likely to be respiratory diseases, respiratory conditions around that impact on community, but also nursing staff themselves. So we've seen a real shortage of the ability just to get nurses to work. And so that fear of not knowing what the workload's going to look like, not fearing if the fear of not having an adequate staff to be able to provide the quality of care that patients deserve, that's distressing for many nurses. And yeah, pretty anxious time.
Yeah, and I think you touched on a very important point, and that is that people think that nurses understaffing affects only nurses, and it's an issue for only nurses. But the wider effects of that affects the community is actually quite crazy. And could you elaborate a bit on why understaffing is an issue that affects not just nurses but also patients?
Yeah, so if say for argument's sake, if you had an injury at home, and the first port of call should be your doctor, but often you can't get into your doctor because they've got waiting lists, or they'll say, we're really busy, we've had to downscale our hours because we don't have enough staff, so you have to go to our emergency clinic. So you can sit there for hours in the emergency clinic, and you also then will be charged a fee. So there's crisis out there at the moment in primary healthcare, which should be the ones that could immediately provide emergency medical care. So others will use the alternative option and maybe go into the ED hospital department, who are also backlogged because of short staffing, increase in patients using ED as an emergency department access. So we've got this issue where it's blocked from a primary health care emergency access, and then the system gets blocked up because patients will be either waiting for a long time in the ED, waiting till beds become available within the hospital, and everywhere is jammed up. So it has a knock-on effect. And then we've got issues where patients may not go to ED, wait at home because they don't want to be sitting around waiting, and therefore they complicate things further because they probably should need treatment or to have medical or nursing eyes upon them, but they're waiting at home. So everywhere the system's jammed up, and that's why it's a crisis for nursing, it's a crisis for doctors, it's a crisis for pharmacists, for physios, you name it. It's across the health sector. It's a real problem.
Part of the rallies as well is the New Zealand Nurses Organisation announced their list of 5 fixes. Actualisation of the Treaty of Waitangi within the health sector, getting more nurses across the health system, making pay conditions fair and meeting nurses' values and expectations of those, earn-as-you-learn programs for nurses in training, and a push for more Māori and Pacifica nurses. Can you elaborate on why the organisation deemed these to be appropriate list of 5 fixes and how you want to see them materialised in policy?
Sure. Well, the Te Tiriti of Waitangi one is obvious, right? There is a commitment that needs to happen to tangata whenua, and that needs to be authentic and not just paid lip service. At the moment, we see the health system, and I think a couple of weeks ago there was an announcement that out of all the people that had kidney transplants, right, there were small numbers of Māori compared to the large numbers of non-Māori that qualified and had kidney transplants. Now, when you look at that, there is an overabundance. Māori are overrepresented in renal diseases. So why would the number or the people that have had these type of treatments be so limited? Unless there's some structurally discriminatory practice that happens that determines who gets treatment and who does not. That's why actualising Te Tiriti of Waitangi is important, to ensure that there's institutional racism and discrimination because of your culture doesn't continue. So our organisation is pushing in on that to make sure that we address these issues of racism within the sector. The Y2575 Kaupapa Māori Health Inquiry clearly articulated that there is problems. So we want to make sure that we're part of the fix. In terms of recruitment and retention, absolutely, it's a no-brainer. If we've got nurses that are leaving the country, we need to look at how we can support them to retain them. Some of that is about making a great program better and supporting them by funding, earn as you learn. Those types of opportunities must be made available to all to attract them. In terms of the Māori and Pacifica works, you know, the World Health Organization and Association has said that for to represent our Indigenous populations best, we need a workforce that represents the percentage of Indigenous. So at the moment, we've got 7% of a workforce that identify as Māori. We've been 7% of the total nursing workforce since 1990. Nothing's moved almost 20 years later. So there has been no initiatives, and we want to see that that number increases significantly so it does start to match the population of Māori with across the country. At the same time, we've seen our internationally qualified nurses back in the 90s represented almost 13% of the workforce. Now they're up to almost 30% of our workforce is reliant on internationally qualified nurses. That's why the earn as you learn, let's keep them, let's retain them, let's support them in their training, let's just support them to get jobs is really critical, because we have to be growing our own workforce. And that includes Pacifica, of which there is a larger population of Pacifica people.
100%. And you've also, as part of this initiative, just launched a petition that people can sign on your website. Can you talk a little bit about how the public can support your initiative and what the steps going forward will be for the New Zealand Nurses Organisation?
This petition is about calling on all political parties to say and commit to fixing the problem in the health sector. We're always going to need a health sector to stand up and respond to things like climate change, to things like future pandemics, and just daily business as usual, operations, cancer treatments, etc. So the system is broken now. So we want to know, how are the political parties, given this is an election year, how do they intend to fix it? And then we want members of the public, everybody, to sign the petition to say our health matters and we want to know what's going to happen. And then that way we can make the best informed decision around election time based on what good healthcare opportunities there will be out there post-election.
That was Kerry Nuku, spokesperson for the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, talking about Saturday's rallies and the need for government support to end the nursing shortage. We'll be back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.